Just want to express a quick word of thanks again to you as a congregation. Your support of Centerpoint has been wonderful through the years. We are now, if you can believe it, 4 years since we opened the doors of the church. And by God's grace, it is doing well. We have a little over 100 people now that are worshiping, and God is blessing it in so many ways. In fact, we've had just a recent spur to some new growth that's even seen that grow a little bit more. As we reach into the community, we do a whole variety of things. I won't try to capture all of it, but just very briefly, we have really gotten to know a lot of people in one of the public elementary schools in order to try to develop relationships. And all of our efforts are to try to share and show the love of Christ. We do a lot of things in our communities and having neighborhood grill outs and backyard block parties and the like to make connections and relationships. We offer a summer music drama camp for the children. We do just a lot of things in discipling groups of triads, groups of three and four, to help people understand, learn, grow in the faith, and to help them to develop in their walk with Christ. So we're always thinking of new initiatives to help us make connections and to see people understand who Christ is, make connections with other believers, and then to grow in their faith in Christ. And we love the work that we're doing. We really feel like we've just begun in significant ways to make a difference in the neighborhoods around us, but we see it happening. And again, I want to thank you so much. Really, what we're trying to do is to, and this really ties into what we're going to talk about tonight, is to be a blessing in the way that the Bible talks about blessing. And I thought for this evening it would be really good for us to just reflect back on maybe some words that are pretty familiar to us. This whole idea that God blesses us and calls us to be a blessing to others. So tonight's message is about being on a mission to bless, and to be on that mission right where God has placed us. And as we go into the message tonight, it would really help. I try to make messages very practical, and I do this in our home church as well. If you can think of three people that you may know who do not know the Lord, they can be people in your family, your extended network of relationships on the job or in your school or in your neighborhood. Three people who don't know the Lord. And especially if those are people that the Lord has put on your heart to think about and to pray for and to reach out to, it'll help as we apply the things that we're learning today so that we can make practical and put God's word into practice. The first text I want to read to you is the familiar words of Genesis 12, God's call to Abraham. And in Genesis 12, verse 2 and 3, we have these words where the Lord has called Abraham and said, "Leave your country and your people, go to your father's house, and go to the land I will show you." And then he says these words, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." Now, often we think about the first half, "I will bless you." But the second half is equally true. "I will make you to be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." From the very beginning of the call of Abraham and the covenant community and all those things that we talk about so frequently, and I know that Pastor Richard talks about here often, the covenantal relationship where God initiates and we respond, God says, "I will initiate by providing a blessing to you, Abraham, to you and to your people for all the generations to come, and then you, in turn, are to be a blessing to others around you." God loves to bless, and we are the blessed recipients of it. Now, what do we mean when we talk about blessing? You hear those words pretty frequently these days, but it's not at all the way that the Bible means it. When somebody sneezes, you say, "Bless you." But that's not what this is about. Down in the deep south, people will say that word and use it in a way that's kind of a backhanded dig. Well, don't, if you think about that, right? Like, "Boy, she's got the worst taste in shoes, bless her heart," right? That's not what this is about. The biblical idea of blessing is the idea of favor. It's the idea of shalom if you track through Scripture. God loves to provide his deep and rich favor on people with whom he is well pleased. At the end of a Sunday service, I always use at our church the Aaronic blessing, the one from Numbers chapter 6. We'll use it again tonight. And it's interesting, for people who aren't that familiar with church background, after they've heard it for a while, and I think they're at least initially confused by it, but when they hear it, the Lord bless you and keep you. What I've observed is that after a while, they come to look forward to receiving it. Some of them have their eyes open, some of them closed, some of them are looking up, many of them are smiling. And if they don't hear it on a Sunday, I hear about it. There is something in us that craves blessing in a world that provides so little of it. We have a God who loves to bless. And as he blesses us, he calls us to be a blessing as well. We don't live, as the world says, by luck or by crossing your fingers or by your lucky stars. We don't live by that. We live by the blessing of a God who in Jesus Christ redeems us and who loves to welcome us into his family. And that blessing that he gives to us, he then calls us to give to others. Psalm 67 captures the same idea. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on the earth and your salvation among all nations. And then at the end of chapter 67, it says, may God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Again, that reciprocation of the receiving of the blessing and then the giving of blessing to others. We are called to both receive and to give. Back in the early church, this was done at some enormous cost. There's a pastor and a teacher named Michael Frost who explains it this way, that the emperor was very intimidated by the church as it was growing in those early years, because under conditions that were downright frightful for those who were believers, there were especially categories of people who were mistreated. The slaves were treated very poorly. Those who were disabled were treated very bad. And women were treated horribly. And along came the Christians. And the Christians treated slaves with grace and dignity. And Christians treated women as Christ did. And Christians treated the disabled with love and tenderness. And the emperor was so intimidated by that and saw the potential for losing control of his kingdom to the Christians that he actually called people together to try to outlove the Christians. But of course, it couldn't be successful because their motive was not the same. They were not captured by the love of Christ that had blessed them, and so it failed in a miserable way. Those who don't have the blessing of God cannot possibly bless others in the way that those who are blessed by God can. One of the ways to bless other people is to simply come alongside in the way that the early Christians did and to share the love of Christ in action, to help people out who are in need, to give generously, as the Bible says, when you see a need around you. To knock on the door of a person's house and ask how you can be of help to somebody who you know who is struggling. And then as you do it, to wait for that moment when they say to you, why do you do it? Because sometimes the sharing of the love of Christ through our actions anticipates the moment when they will say, what you do is just weird. I don't know anybody else who does what you do. And in that moment where they ask the question, they elicit from you the opportunity to explain the reason. And the reason is simply that the blessing of God has so changed my heart that I cannot but give to others as I have been given to. What an opportunity we have to make a difference in the lives of people around us by simply doing for others what God has done for us. So tonight, we want to talk about ways to be a blessing to other people. God has called us to it in Genesis 12. We hear about it again in Psalm 67. And now I want to take you to another text in Colossians 2, because this is one of the texts where Paul, in the New Testament, in very difficult circumstances, calls on other people to be a blessing, although he doesn't use the word. He's actually asking for prayers for himself. And one of the key ways that we can be a blessing to others, we know, is to be in prayer for them on a regular basis. Prayer is really the first part of the blessing that we give to others around us. So let's take a look at this text in Colossians chapter 4. We're at the end of this, this wonderful chapter about and book about the supremacy of God and the implications of how we live our life knowing that Christ is supreme and that he is the one that we give our worship and honor to. At the end of this book, he writes, "Devote yourselves," chapter 4, verse 2, "devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." This is serious business to Paul. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. He doesn't say pray in passing. He says, make this a matter of intentional, persistent, steadfast. Be in prayer, he says, for me, that I may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. He wants to be a blessing to those who are guarding him in the prison cell. He wants to share with others what God has done for him, even though he's in hard circumstances. And he prays, and really, as we talk about prayer is the first part of the blessing, we acknowledge that prayer is so critical to this because there's really nothing that can take the place of the prayers that we raise for other people. Before we say a word, before we do anything else, it's the prayers and God working through them that is going to bring about the blessing in the lives of others that he intends us to give. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And then he says, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so we can proclaim the mystery of Christ. He's asking for prayers that the doors will be open because they're currently not. They're shut. And if we're going to be a blessing to others, you have to recognize that the door is often initially closed. And only God can open the door. Some doors are just really hard to open. Brings back a memory from when we had our years here at Cottage Grove. It was around 1991 or 1992. I was in the office right next to Gail over in the hallway, and I was working hard on something, and all of a sudden I saw my daughter Janine come across the driveway. You know, we were living in that small house right across there. And she came walking over, and she was only, I think, about 3 or 4 years old. She could talk, but couldn't really make a lot of sense. And so she knocked on the door, and I opened the door, and I was surprised, because normally Ingrid would be with her. And Janine said, "Hi, Daddy." I said, "Hey, Janine, where's Mom?" "At home." "Okay, go back to Mom." So she went back across the driveway, and I watched her so she was safe. And then she came back again. She knocked on the door, "Hey, Daddy." And I said, "Janine, where's Mom?" "At home." And then she turned around to walk back, and I thought, this is weird. Something's going on. So I walked with her across the driveway into the house, and if you recall, in one of the bedrooms of the home, there's a walk-in closet. Ingrid had gone in the closet to get something, and one of the kids, I think Andrew, you can believe that, right, went ahead of her, or went behind her, and shut the door. And on the inside of the closet, the door handle was broken. It just turned freely. So nothing that Ingrid would do would open the door. And she's very claustrophobic, if you know her well. So, some doors are very hard to open. Now, for Paul, the difficulty was for the door to open, to have an opportunity to share his faith and to be a blessing in that way to the guards who were monitoring his every move. Can you imagine trying to do that? What are the closed doors of our life for which we need prayer? Clearly, one of the closed doors that needs to be opened, that only prayer can open, is the door of my selfish heart. The door of my selfish heart. One of the things that Scripture repeatedly says that Israel had failed to do was to follow through in its calling to the world to be a light to the nations around. Israel had failed in its covenantal calling and obligation and privilege to share and show the love of the covenant God to the nations around. Instead, chose to adopt the lifestyle, the gods, the character of the nations around. One of the great challenges of Israel that it failed to accomplish was to do what it had been given to reciprocate to those in the world around. The reason was selfishness. And if we fast forward to the world that we live in today, one of the realities that I have to acknowledge in my own life, even though I am a pastor of a church that does a lot of outreach, is that regularly I slip into that same selfish mode. It's so easy for me to embrace and receive and want more of the blessing of God in terms of grace and redemption and mercy and forgiveness, and then immediately to look to others and to measure what they're not doing for me rather than being a conduit to bless others as I have been blessed. Does that make sense? The calling of God in our life is to pray that he will open the door of our selfish hearts, to have the same kind of heart that Paul did, the same kind of heart that we're called to in the book of Acts. As we have received the blessing, to commit ourselves to be a blessing to others. So we need to be aware that our tendency to be just recipients and satisfied with that is something that we need prayer for. The other thing that we need prayer for is that God would open the door of not just my heart, but of my friend's closed heart. Not that long ago, I had the privilege to share faith with a lady named Brenda. She was near the end of her life, struggling with cancer, and she was very angry at God. Very angry because she had had things happen in her life and her extended family that were very painful. She didn't understand why God didn't prevent those things from happening, and she had walled herself off from God for many, many years, but now she was dying. And I didn't know her very well, but we had a series of phone conversations in which she expressed her anger with God, and I found myself getting off the phone and simply praying for God to open her heart and that God would change her animosity to curiosity. It's something that only the Holy Spirit can do. Now, on the one hand, I could have said, well, because the Spirit has to do it, there's nothing for me to do. There's no sense in calling her back. She's angry with God. I'll just leave her alone. But that would not be consistent with what Scripture tells us to do, would it? If we have been blessed, we're called to be a blessing to whoever God has put in our life, whoever God has put on our hearts. God clearly put her not only on my heart, but right in front of me. She wanted to talk with me. And so it was my privilege and my calling to give her a call back every time and then to go back to prayer for her that her animosity would turn to curiosity. And then had the privilege to watch the miracle of that happening. So that before she died, she said to me, Fred, my faith is returning and my anger is diminishing. Now that is the work that only God can do, right? But that's a door that remains closed. And only prayer, only the Lord can use our prayers to open it. There's the prayer that's needed for our hearts. There's a prayer that's needed for our friends' hearts. And then there's this prayer that's needed to open the door of cultural awkwardness. That even sounds awkward in the saying, doesn't it? But I think you understand when we say that in the culture that we live in today, The thing that is avoided at all costs is any topic of conversation related to politics or morality or religion that has any sense of exclusivity to it. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is exclusive in that the only way to salvation and redemption and hope for eternity comes through Christ, his death and his resurrection. And so the tendency in our culture today, including for us as believers, is to avoid those topics because we know it's awkward. But if we're going to be a blessing to others, as Christ has been a blessing to us, then we have to be willing to step over the line, to have the conversations with those for whom it might be especially difficult. One of the hardest things to do today is to have discussions about things with which we disagree, because we are very tolerant in our society except for anything with which we disagree. And then intolerance reigns. And so sometimes the prayer that we most need to pray is that God would create the bridge where there appears to be none, where we will step toward the bridge, and we will commit ourselves to walking over it and face the nervousness that we feel around doing that, to open up the conversations, to have it with another person, to create the opportunity to share and show the love of Christ, to accept it if they don't receive it, but neither to shy away from the opportunity that God has placed right in front of us. Again, you can imagine Paul in chains, wondering about his future, knowing that by sharing the gospel of the mystery of Christ that has been revealed, the redemption that comes through God, through Jesus Christ, that as he faces that moment of awkwardness with the guards, he actually puts himself at greater risk. If he makes them angry, if he ticks them off, it could well backfire on him. And so Paul asks others to pray for him, that God would open the door so that he might share the mystery for which he is in chains. And implied in that is the intent that Paul will do it. Now, we know from what we read about Paul that he was not very shy, and so he probably did it over and over again. The same call and challenge comes to us through the Great Commission, through the gospel, through the Gospels, through the book of Acts, through the Pauline epistles, that we are called to be a blessing in that way. And then along the way comes the privilege for us to proclaim Christ. And it simply says in here, the prayer is that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. And then it goes on to say that I might be wise, it's a command, be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. There's something here about clarity, and there's something here about having a credible witness. And so as we think about the three people that God maybe has put in our lives, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our work environments, in our school, and other settings where we live, we have the privilege to ask God to open the doors of opportunity in whatever way he so chooses, with the commitment that we will go through. And as we go through, that we will learn the way to clearly express what Christ has done for us. It's really not that difficult. In our church this morning, we had a lady who gave a testimony of her hope in Jesus Christ through difficult times. She spent a little bit of time working on it, but she shared clearly in a way that everyone could understand what Christ had done for her. And we celebrated with her her testimony of faith. To proclaim clearly the message of Christ. And to do it by acting wisely with outsiders, which simply means that we act with integrity. That as the world looks at us individually, as families, and as a church, that people can see that there's a consistency between us and the one who blesses us. That there is within us a spirit of blessing, a spirit of gratitude, expansive gratitude and worship to God for all he has done for us, and a spirit that is open to the hearts of others, so that as God looks at us, He smiles and he uses us for the benefit of others. One of the easy things that all of us can do as we talk about prayer as a way to be a blessing to others, one of the things that we can easily do is to simply ask people how we can pray for them. If you're looking for a place to begin, just track with what Paul is saying. He's asking other believers to pray for him, to proclaim the message. We can simply ask others how we can pray for them, and then along the way, share the message. Sometimes we minimize the impact that that can make. But I think in our culturally intolerant world today, this is probably one of the most effective things because it's a natural bridge. Most people are willing to have someone say to them, "How can I pray for you?" In fact, they're very recipient to it because very few people show that kind of care. I was reminded of that by one of the leaders in our church, a man named Jeff, who was on a trip to California with one of the executives of his company. And he had previously told this individual who had a daughter who was going through serious medical issues that he was praying for her. And in fact, he told this executive that he had asked our whole church to pray for her. And now it was some time later, and they were in California at a restaurant, and as they were talking together, Jeff, the leader in our church, asked this man, "How is your daughter doing?" And he said, "She's doing much better, thank you." He said, "That's great to hear. You know that our whole church has been praying for her?" And he kind of laughed because he didn't believe it. So Jeff pulled out his smartphone and he opened up to the email that's our weekly prayer email that goes out to the whole congregation, and he scrolled down to the prayer request that was in there for the whole church to pray for this daughter. And this executive of a company who was also an Army vet, in a public restaurant, started to cry. And he said, "I can't believe you would do that." And sometime later, they had a follow-up conversation, and he said to Jeff, he said, "You know, that moment impacted me so deeply that I went back home and I talked to my wife, and we started going back to church again." You cannot know the impact of the things that you say with courage, nervousness, yes, but courage, simply being faithful to share the blessing you have received with one other person. Paul was sitting in chains, and he had the courage to ask for the prayers of the people so he could talk to those who were imprisoning him and share with them the gospel, the message of Christ. Now come back to the three people that God may be putting on your heart this evening. You have received a blessing. If you are here tonight, even if you're just here exploring faith, you are blessed to be able to experience and understand more of who Christ is. If you are a longtime believer in Christ, and many of you are, the blessing that you have received through the years is enormous. And the blessing that we have to look forward to in heaven is incomparable to anything that we will ever experience on this earth. And the call to Abraham is a call that comes back to every one of us. I will bless you, and I will make you to be a blessing to others. May God grant that we will take his word and put it to practice. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege of worshiping with such wonderful people that through the years have become like family to Ingrid and myself and our kids. For the privilege of the years that we could spend here in the early 90s doing ministry together. For the years and decades of ministry that Cottage Grove has had since then in this community. Father, thank you so much that we have been the recipients of blessing time and time again. And Father, may we not fall into the pattern of ancient Israel to be recipients and not givers, but rather out of sheer gratitude, out of the incentive that comes with reflection, that we, Father, might be blessers of those around us, and particularly in the ways that share and show the love of Christ, looking and praying for the opportunity, like Paul did, even in prison, to be a blessing to others by sharing and proclaiming the love of Christ. And Father, whatever steps that may begin with that person next door, may we be always on the lookout, leaning into, being proactive for ways that we can share with others what we have received. And in that way, Father, may we not be like a rain barrel that just gets filled up, but may we be very much like a conduit through which the blessing of your grace does flow, and by which your Spirit does work, and by which others experience and hear the love of Christ. And to that end, Father, we will give you the praise and the glory, for you are so worthy of it. We pray this all in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing.